space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html for access to not one, but four separate chat rooms. Anyway, sorry, I got a little distracted this morning. I couldn't get People for People radio stream going there. So if anybody has a link over there, jump over there. I think I put a message over for them, but anyway, I posted a If you want to go over and listen in on People for People Radio and their content, scroll down underneath the chat room in the superchat.html. You'll see a banner ad down at the bottom. You can click on that link and go on over there and say hi to those nice folks. Anyway, sorry for being distracted. I'll get my act together here in a second. I'm just trying to make sure everything's up and running. Every time I have one of these episodes where something doesn't kick right, then it throws me off my game. That's why I need a producer or something. Yeah. Anyway, I posted a link to a man that on his YouTube goes by Sky Collection, and he's showing in this video where he has a pancake coil and a capacitor running series with a pancake coil and basically is lighting up a light bulb. Well, he demonstrates inside this while he's got his pulse motor running. He demonstrates in this video as the thing is spinning around and the light is on. You can see that there's absolutely no lens effect occurring that is causing that rotor to bog down. And then whenever he takes the screwdriver and shorts across the capacitor that's running series, you can see that is an obvious effect, a lens effect occurring when he does that, pulls the load on there. Anyway, lens effect, the opposing currents will repel each other. As a result, Lenz's law states that the current induced in a circuit due to a change in or motion in a magnetic field is so directed as to opposite the change in flux and to exert a mechanical force opposing the motion. Basically, you're sending energy back around in the opposite direction and it's wanting to fight with the field that you're wanting to draw the power off. We've talked about this many times on Mad Science Show, that when you induce a current into a coil of wire and that energy is able to travel all the way back around, it begins to produce a second field that starts fighting with the first field. And that's one of the things that people have to overcome in order to get a self-running generator or whatever, electric generators, be able to overcome the Lenz effect. What Sky Collection showed right there is pretty brilliant. With the capacitor, I'm always talking about spark gaps and vacuum spark gaps. And so if you have a spark gap, you have to have enough power to be able to jump across that gap in order for the circuit to be complete. Otherwise, you just got a split in the circuit. It's basically the circuit's open, and so you can't get no current flow to go because there's not enough power to leap across that gap. Well, at higher frequencies, energy can leap across that gap, even at 60 hertz. If you've ever really paid attention, when you get ready to plug something into the wall, especially if the lights are out, once you get those plugs close enough to the terminals where that energy can jump across there, a really tiny spark gap, you'll see a little tiny arc where that energy literally leaps across to that plug. Same thing happens whenever you're unplugging it. There's an energy release from whatever appliance that you're running, plus the fact that, you know, you're breaking that gap. And so energy, even at 60 and 50 hertz, can actually jump across a really small gap. But the higher the voltage, the farther the gap that you can get that energy to leap across. And see, here's the thing. It's not that we haven't had enough energy all along to do a lot more than what we do. It's just that we're not using it efficiently. I mean, we are fighting against an effect called Lenz effect, that, and even to that extent, eddy currents as well. Eddy currents is basically what causes things to get hot. And it's as simple as that. That's the simplest way to put it. There's no easier way to say that. It causes things to get hot. it's cramming too much power into a small space and not being able to cool it down fast enough. Basically, that's why transistors and resistors and all that get hot, is because they resist the flow of the current, and so it causes them to get hot. Well, when you're putting too much power through something that is resisting that power, it's going to cause it to get hot. And so in this video that Sky Collection's running this pancake coil, you can see obviously that you got enough current flow to light up these LED bulbs that he's got, which you know, LEDs don't take much power anyway, but nonetheless you can still do the same exact thing with you know, any other, you know, tungsten element light bulb, what they would call incandescent light bulbs as well. I've done it before. Inside that capacitor is a material that separates two plates, and that's called a dielectric. It has a breakdown voltage, and you know, once you exceed that breakdown voltage, that dielectric fails, and the energy can literally leap from plate to plate, shorting that capacitor out, which would actually make it a bad capacitor now. But nonetheless, what you've got going on there between those two plates is the equivalence of a spark gap. And so by running that capacitor in series with the coil, as opposed to in parallel with the coil, which one would think that's what you'd want if you want to charge that capacitor up, running it in series is the equivalence of using that capacitor as a spark gap. Now maybe inside that capacitor what's really going on is it's actually, the voltage is getting too high and it's actually breaking through the dielectric itself and causing it to be able to jump across. But nonetheless, this is good because two things is happening. First is it's allowing that excess energy a place to go. It's allowing surface area to the capacitor to absorb all that excess energy so that it's not backing up through the load and causing lens effect to be invoked. Now, with what Sky Collection did, you could also see that whenever he shorted that capacitor with the screwdriver, you could hear it snap every time. So it was holding a charge while the thing was going. Then, if you can think about this in a storage capacity, with one little capacitor running series with there, you could run a string of parallels all the way out from that one capacitor and increase your storage bank, which therefore would increase the or lessen the lens effect yet even more, because it would give that energy even more space to go through. And at the end of that deal down there, then you would actually have a place where you could start charging batteries with it. So what Sky Collection did there was pretty brilliant. And if people, you know, are into experiments, I would say try to replicate what he did. Not necessarily that you'd have to use a pancake coil, but to try it with other coils at different frequency ranges, and you might be surprised at the results, because as long as that energy is not backing up into the system, it has a place to go, then it will be able to run really efficient. You could see in the video that the motor had some really good RPMs without no load on it. And then once he shorted that capacitor across there, then the you could see an obvious drag on the system, where you could actually hear the RPMs change and it bogging down. And so that's proof of what we've been saying all along here on Mad Science Show. If you know how energy travels, you can guide that energy to wherever you want it to go. And from that point on, you can raise your efficiency up. You see, there's no losses in the system that way. But if you've got a field fighting against a field, then all that extra energy necessary basically starts to invoke the eddy currents that cause the heat that gets everything, you know. I misspelled that when I typed that in there. Yeesh. Yikes. Anyway, causes the heat because of the resistance, the backup. There's no place for that energy to go, so it's going to get hot. But the key, another key about what it was in Sky Collections deals, if you look at the light bulb, when there was no lens effect occurring, it's bright, and when the lens effect was actually occurring, it's still bright. So you still got the same amount of brightness even with the spark gap. So it was working more efficiently using that that capacitor quite literally as a spark gap. So if we take and contemplate on how we're going to draw energy off of any system from this point on by building a power bank and replicating what Sky Collection did in this deal right here, we can increase our efficiency just by adding a capacitor bank in series with the power source and the load. And so the load's not going to be affected. It's going to still run just like it normally did, and it's still going to have the current that it needs. It's just going to allow the excess amount of energy that's not necessary to run that load to be moved off to the side so that the power efficiency goes up. It doesn't take as near much power, and which means that your electric motor generator that you're using will not get as hot because it's not having to fight harder. The more demand comes on that from that load, the more that that generator or the electric motor running the generator would have to work in order to be able to get that to keep up with that demand. And that constant flow of energy back is producing that second field. And so not only did Sky Collection just show people how to, at the very least, drastically reduce the lens effect, but he also showed how to actually drastically reduce any potential eddy currents from the resistance of having too much energy pushed to a system. And so it's a pretty exciting deal coming from something so seemed to be so incredibly simple. That you're using that spark gap or that capacitor as a spark gap, it at different frequency ranges. You find the best high frequency wave that will literally do the same exact thing, and this is really super easy to test. I mean, there's all kinds of 555 circuits or the Slayer exciter circuit, all of these ones, any ones that produce high voltage, high frequency charge, or for that matter, doing any of the ones with relay switches, using them for switches to turn the pulse coils on and off rapidly, and instead of this thing bogging under a load, you're going to move that energy away from it where you want it to go. It's that simple. And so all of these effects that I keep talking about, if you Google up lens effect, there's you'll see there's a Wikipedia article on there, even though I don't really like Wikipedia for obvious reasons, because their bias is ridiculous. But sometimes they get some good information if you're careful what you watch on, what you read through on there. Most generally, when it comes down to things like things that like science or something like that, with exception of certain subjects, they got some pretty decent information that people gather up in there. Anyway, I still don't trust them. So let me see here. Dad, burn it. My brain hurts. Alright. Alright. Stephen posted a interesting patent inside there. It's basically the abstract on a charge aerosol wind electric power generator with solar or gravity regeneration. On a charged aerosol wind electric power generator, electrically charged water droplets are dispersed into the wind stream using induction electric charging. A water jet issues under water pressure from a small diameter 25 to 50 um, is that what that is, orifice. The jet breaks into charged droplets, a plate. This is the first time I read this, sorry folks, I'm not going to get it trying to read these things out. Long appears optimum in single jet from such orifice, water pressure. Why they got to use all the crazy on there? But, yeah, folks, the link's in the chat room. You'll have to go over there and read that. My brain is like, I'm out of it. I got a lot of issues going on in the world today. Tired and things been breaking down and all that kind of jazz. So anyway, when I saw this, I wanted to get this out. I understand that part of what I just read on that patent right there. But basically, it's taking multiple things adding in. And that's what I've been saying all along. I like these devices that they don't just rely on, you know, one source of power. They have input such as, you know, you got solar over here, you got wind over here, you got hydroelectric over there, you got thermoelectric. And that's one of the reasons why that doggone Free Thinkers video, for those who understood what it was I was showing them, is basically trickle charging what used to be batteries but end up now being capacitors because they're dry as a bone, but they still have a dielectric and they still have the positive and negative plates. See, the difference between a battery and a capacitor is just the material that's in between it. See, when you talk about a lead acid battery, you got an electrolyte inside there that helps for the transfer of energy across, and there's a chemical reaction going on. When you're talking about a capacitor, there's a dielectric in between the two, which basically is he said, laugh out loud, you stop just before it says, produces net electric power output substantially exceeding the hydraulic and electric power inputs. Man, I'm just off my game today, Stephen. I can't seem to get my act together. Once something starts dominoing down, been a rough week. Anyway, yeah, I stopped right before the good part. I will spread that link around, but for those folks listening and want to see it, over there in the superchat.html, read it up. It's caught me off guard. So anyway, the difference between a capacitor and a battery isn't much. It's just the way that you're going to be using that energy, the way that you're going to guide that energy. Because it's all the same energy, no matter how you look at it. Every bit of energy out there, all electricity, is all the same. It just comes in different ranges, different voltages, and the ways that we measure it. Like, for example, I'll show people some high voltage, high frequency stuff, and they'll be like, well, what's the current? What's the watts? What's the amperage on there? And they don't understand that the measuring equipment that we've got, the voltmeters, whether it be analog or digital, are not going to be able to measure accurately the energy that's being being used there. For one, high frequency, high voltage would burn up a digital voltmeter. Number two, on a analog, the high voltage, high frequency would not have enough current to work standard like the electric motor. See, if you look inside of a regular analog voltmeter, there's like a little electric motor inside there. And when you induce current in there, it causes the little armature to move, and depending on the strength of it, will determine how far it moves, and it'll show you how far the voltage is on there. Or the current or whatever. But at because of that design, higher frequency isn't going to show a lot of current. Isn't going to, because there's not. It's passing by so fast, it's not going to read properly on there. Even you could even burn those up with too high a frequency. You basically fry the insulation on the windings in the little tiny armature that moves whenever you put a current to it. And so you're talking about the same exact energy, but it's not at the same frequency range. It's not at the same not like our standard electricity. It's still nonetheless all the same. Even static electricity from rubbing your socks on the carpet is the same electricity. It's the same energy, all of it. And so with that said, what Sky Collection showed there is how you can take that particular higher frequency, move it over, and you've seen whenever he discharged that brings that energy right back down to more of what you would be wanting to use in order to run your inefficient junk that we all have in our homes today. So every bit of this energy is the same, and we have the means by which to change it around, raise the frequency of it up or lower it down, and we actually have the means by which to ensure that there are no losses in the system, that we can move this energy where we want to go. We guide it exactly where we want it. And any excess just gets stored and reused. So it doesn't matter whether we're talking about electricity or whether we're talking about water or whether we're talking about air pressure or any or heat or whatever. All of that energy can be guided to wherever you want it to go. Now, like in an internal combustion engine in your automobile, you're just basically allowing it to escape right out into the air. That's wasted energy, and it does nothing. You know, it just disperses out into the air because you got a fan blowing this heat away. But you could actually guide that heat energy to wherever you want it to go and raise the efficiency of that engine up yet even farther. See, that energy is just looking for a path to travel. That's it. And what Sky Collection showed right here was a way by which to reduce the effect by not having a direct connection to it, but to be able to, as well, store some power up in that capacitor. Now, imagine that same exact system that Sky Collection put together in this video. And if you don't understand Spanish, you're probably not going to be able to understand what he's saying. But if you pay attention to what's going on in the video, you can see what he's doing. And you can figure it out. Wanted to do this video, wanted to talk about this video because this is really important towards any future designs as far as low input, high output energy systems. I've watched all these different I gotta have to look up the name. I can't even remember the doggone name. All these different alternative energy ones, including John Bedini Joseph Newman. That's the one I was looking for. That's the one that Russ at RWG Research is working on, replicating the system there. And all of these, to some extent, have used physics to be able to overcome the lens effect, but have also used capacitance in order to be able to drastically reduce the lens effect, therefore giving you more power out the other side. See, high voltage, high frequency, it will travel, and it'll go everywhere. It's basically kind of messy, because it's not trying to stay in one place. It's looking for a path to ground. That's all it cares about. You give it a good clean path, and you ain't got no problems whatsoever. I still ain't found that doggone deal. Where in the heck did it go? Anyway, if you want to check out the work that Russ is doing on there, look up RWG Research on YouTube, or scroll down underneath the chat. Right down underneath the chat room is a link to RWGResearch.com, and there will be links to all of his work as well. And you can also go over to opensourceenergy.org or Zero Fossil Fuel and check out some of the stuff that they're doing over there. Basically, we waste so much doggone energy, and in order to build a machine that will actually keep up with the demand that our homes require in order to run, you are talking about almost an impossibility, because you have to have a lot of power to run incredibly inefficient appliances the way that we do. But taking a note out of the playbook of what Sky Collection just showed, there are other methods by which to use that energy to build supplemental systems that will work with the systems that we got now, that will allow the energy necessary to get through, but not allow that backup that starts to make everything become less efficient. Being able to run the same doggone fan, if you look at some of these modern day fans and stuff like that, they've got capacitors up inside them things. And I hadn't really paid attention up till now whether or not they're running series or parallel. But if my guess is correct, then they're probably running them in series, which means they've already figured this out. Nonetheless, you still have to have 120 volts AC in order to be able to run this, anywhere from 120 to 220, depending on where you're at. But it makes these things more efficient. And even at that, you're still putting more energy in necessary than, and more energy needed to actually run that particular fan. That's why after so much time between friction and eddy currents, they will get hot. And over a period of time, they will degrade to the point where they finally fail. That's the whole key right there. They gotta fail, they gotta break down so that more can be sold. And when people when people want to get tired of basically having to replace appliances all the time, they'll pay attention to some of these alternative researchers that have been showing them different methods of efficiency. If you had a way to keep any electric motor cool as its weakest point, as cool as the weakest temperature and breakdown voltage, of its weakest part, which may be the insulation on the wire. So, at a certain temperature, the insulation on the windings of that wire are going to fail. Basically, they'll, you know, the insulation will either crack or basically burn off, and the moment that happens, you have now a dead short. You, instead of having 1,000 turns, you got 1 turn. And which that basically raises the resistance through the roof because it's a dead short. Too much power going through there. But if you had a way to keep that electric motor cool, then it would never fail. It would be no possibility for it to fail outside of some sort of mechanical failure. It would be possible. As long as you can maintain the insulation on those windings, and as long as you never reach the thermal breakdown of any of the parts from friction or whatever, then these parts will never fail. You would have an electric motor that would last forever, as long as you could keep it down below the thermal breakdown point. And the reason why we reach the thermal breakdown point in everything is due to friction, it's due to resistance, of putting too much power to the system that's not needed for it to run the way that it does. And all these things are basically related to what Sky Collection just showed everybody in this video. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that are brilliant, but there's a lot of people out there that I don't think recognize how brilliant they really are. Because if you find a place for that power to go, the excess power, then that means that on the other side, you don't have a backup of energy that's producing heat. And if you're not producing heat, then you're not ever going to reach the thermal breakdown of any given product or machine or whatever. This is just one of many different deals. You know, we use heat sinks basically to transfer, you know, heat from microchips and stuff like that, and basically disperse that out into the air using the heat sink, the equivalents of the radiator in your car. Difference being is the radiator in your car has antifreeze running through there to also help to take away that heat as well. And so if you look out there into the computer world and the gaming world, and you look up water-cooled heat sinks, you'll find out that they actually use that to help to take away some heat as well. So it's using the air around it, and it's using the liquid of the water, basically using the water as a medium in order to transfer yet even more heat away. As long as that water's cool, it'll be cooling down on the way through. See, heat's either going to be your best friend or it's going to be your worst enemy in any machine. Doesn't matter. And so, the physics of heat and electricity, they go hand in hand. You push too much electricity, you're going to generate heat. That's why the nichrome wire and the tungsten element are able to be used as far as heating sources, because they are specifically designed to resist current flow. And so when that resistance is going on, if you can imagine this energy trying to get through this, but it's being slowed down, that means all that energy is backing up behind it, and it's backing up behind that. And so one end of the wire starts to get hot, and that heat energy transfers all the way down. Just like electricity, heat will follow that wire all the way down. And then once the wire finally reaches its thermal breakdown, it'll melt in two. But if you could keep the temperature of this wire at just the perfect temperature, enough to allow it to get red hot to give you that radiant heat, but never enough to get hot enough to actually break that down and burn it in two, that wire would last forever. That's the easy, that's the simple of the whole doggone deal, folks. That's that's why things fail. Once you understand how energy travels, which is my main subject that of research, my main subject of all the research that I've done, how energy actually travels. Once you got that knowledge of how energy actually travels, then from that point on, it's easy. You have an understanding of how to use energy incredibly efficient. You can guide that energy exactly where you want it to go. And it doesn't matter at what frequency range that you use it at, it's all the same energy. If you speed it up, you can literally use high voltage to cut through steel. Alright, even steel has a breakdown voltage. You've seen, like with plasma cutters will use high voltage, high frequency, and the air around it to literally ionize and energize that gas into plasma, which is really hot, and you can cut through steel, and the cut that you get is such a clean cut. They use plasma cutters to make all kinds of precision parts. And they can use a plasma cutter to cut the thinnest to the thickest metals, because they understand how to use that energy and the heat. When you deliberately want to generate heat with electricity, it's ridiculously simple. So, taking all this knowledge in, where do we go to from here? Well, every single power plant out there could be brought up to an incredible amount of efficiency just by using what Sky Collection just showed. Every single home generator could be brought up to incredible amounts of efficiency just by using what he showed there. And without actually doing experiments, there may very well not be any limitations to how many capacitor banks that you could run in series with each other in the same type of system. So if you can run 1,000 capacitor banks in series with the same deal, because all you're doing is jumping from gap to gap to gap to gap to gap on down the line, and as this process is occurring, all the excess energy is being stored off in the bank that then in turn runs from that series all the way to a parallel bank on each one of these capacitors. That's a lot of power. And there's nothing to say that you could not do it on both using a pulse DC on the positive and the negative side. Because the loop that you're making as it goes through the load and back around, the loop that you're making isn't going to be interfered, because you're not running it in parallel with the two positives and negative. Once that capacitor fills up when it's in parallel, it's obviously going to help to give it a lot more strength on the other side, but that energy still has to have a place to go. But if all you're doing is allowing that energy to flow freely all the way through the entire deal, so you got two banks of series capacitors, one on the right, one on the left, and then your load in between the two of those and your generator on the other end. So you're going to get the maximum amount of efficiency out of that generator via what would have normally been waste, what would have normally caused eddy currents. So we know that we can pulse these coils with low voltage, and we can pulse them extremely fast or extremely slow by energizing it at 50 to 60 hertz. You get that perfect range that is running the electricity that we've got, that we run all of our appliances on. It also allows time for current flow as well. The higher the frequency, the less current you're going to get, but the higher the voltage that you're going to get. That's that pressure, as that energy is trying to go in any given direction. And at certain voltages, it will climb right off the wire and start jumping out to everything and running all over the place, basically engulfing whatever it is that's conductive that it can travel across. And at certain frequencies, it'll actually travel across non-conductive as well. And those non-conductives, if it decides to take a shortcut through the non-conductive, it'll literally cause the non-conductive to reach its thermal breakdown and burn in two, start a fire. So there's a reason why we don't use super high frequency in our actual application of the energy that we pull off of it. But if you actually take a look at the power as it comes from the power company, it is coming in at a high frequency. That's how they're able to get it to go so far from the power plant all the way to your house and to multiple houses. Is they raise it up at a really high frequency, and just like I explained earlier, it will climb out in every single direction and send that wave down anything that's conductive, which is that power line out there. And so in order to get it to you, they're not going to send it to you as current like you would think that you're using. They're going to send it to you at a high frequency so that they can send it to multiple people at the same time, because they know when they get it in your general vicinity where you have a transformer on your pole, that some people call them pig poles, whatever, that's a step down transformer and a capacitor all in one shot. And it'll take that high frequency and drop it down, pressurize it up, and get and allow you to now have the current necessary to run your appliances in your house. That's how it works, folks. That's energy in a nutshell. Tesla showed a long time ago he was doing amazing things. And at certain frequency ranges, you can use high frequency to light up the same bulb that would have normally took a resistance from a lot of current to light up. I took in a video called Vacuum Spark Gap and lit up an old tungsten element headlamp using 20 kilovolts at in the milliamp range. I can't remember, I think it's maybe 300 milliamps, I have to look. But nonetheless, what would have normally took 12 volts at whatever wattage the bulb was, and that resistance from that current flow was able to be lit up in the milliamp range using high frequency, and it literally leaped across the broken element, the tungsten element in the bulb, to the other side and heated it up and lit the bulb up, even though it wouldn't work on your normal 12-volt system. So that's what I've been trying to do for a long time, is to first off gain an understanding of how energy actually functions. You got to know what it's doing in order to know what you can do with it. And so that's what we've been doing. That's what I've been doing. I've been working on devices that basically will take the lowest amount of input and give you the highest amount of output at the greatest efficiency. The plasma technology that I talk about isn't the old hoodoo voodoo version like Keshi and all them's out there trying to sell people, you know. I don't even know what's even happened to that man anymore. It's basically when you know how energy travels and you understand what's going on. When you're using a microwave inside your house and you're sending a high frequency, short, fast, super fast wave into a box, a metal box, and inside there is a water molecule that is being bombarded by these and rocking these water molecules back and forth, that produces friction, which in turn produces heat. If you had a thermal imager, you could actually see the difference because the science says light is heat and heat is light. You'd notice the colors getting brighter for the energy that the hotter that stuff gets. Well, in metal, which whether it's tungsten or nichrome or any other metal for that matter, when you get it really hot, it glows and you get visible light off of it. We actually have to put these wires in a vacuum so that there's no oxygen to allow it to exceed its thermal breakdown and burn in half. Otherwise, if you had that same wire out in the air and you did put the same exact amount of power to it, that light bulb would not last very long at all because it has a lot of fuel around it and would allow it to get hotter and hotter than normal and finally burn itself in half. But if it can't complete the burn, and if you can regulate the temperature and you can keep that right there at that specific temperature and there's no extra fuel to the fire such as the oxygen and hydrogen and nitrogen in the air atmosphere, that's why these light bulbs are in glass. They're sealed in a vacuum so that they don't get too hot. And so the plasma technology that I'm talking about is utilizing that knowledge of how to move that energy and utilize it in the fashion to where you're getting visible light. Now, this is the same thing when you look up at your ceiling and you see those fluorescent bulbs. Same exact thing. But you'll note that in the transformer, especially the old style transformers, they are taking the current that comes out of the house and they're dropping the current down and raising the voltage up and the frequency range up high enough to energize that gas inside that bulb to cause it to light up. And so everything that I've been saying is exactly what you've been seeing all along, what they've been doing. The reason why LEDs are so incredibly efficient because they're not a resistive load. They don't require resistance from a lot of current in order to produce heat to light them up. Those basically use the flow of electrons in order to release photons of light inside, you know, because of the material inside there. When you put certain materials together, they produce certain colors. And that's how an LED works. That's why LEDs are so incredibly efficient. And also, you'll note that LEDs can work in reverse. You can actually get power out by photons of light hitting the same thing and doing the same exact thing in reverse. But once you understand why things are doing what they're doing, then you got it made as far as building alternative energy sources. If we could just get the right people to the table long enough to understand what it is that we're talking about, then everyone out there could benefit. For you know, there's places that people just don't have electricity. They don't have lights. They don't have, you know, all the luxuries that a lot of us, you know, basically take for granted. In my point of view, here we are in the year 2018, and for people to be, you know, doing without when there's no reason for it. And even those who are using electricity, I don't care about conserving energy to the extent, you know, I'm not worried about wasting energy because we waste so much energy, it's ridiculous. But there's so much abundance of energy, it's like all the water on the planet. You ain't never going to run out of water, and you ain't never going to run out of electricity. The only thing you're going to run out of is people that understand how to use it efficiently. And how to build and engineer machines that won't break down, that people can afford. You can do things with things that are in nature if you understand the chemistry. For example, a lemon. If you understand that a lemon has citric acid in it, any type of acid can be an electrolyte for a chemical battery. You take any two dissimilar metals and put them down inside that lemon, and you actually produce electricity through a chemical reaction. And so you could actually go down probably in your local creek and find two dissimilar metals, or out there in nature be able to find two dissimilar rocks that are made of metal and produce a battery right out of the dirt. Even though it's going to be a crude battery and probably ain't going to light up your light bulb like you'd want it to, nonetheless, it'll still work. But all that energy is the same doggone energy. It's just refined the way that we do it. And the way that we should have done it all along is like what Tesla was talking about. You could actually send your electricity wirelessly through the air, not hurt anybody, and be able to pick it up with the antennas and bring it down and stage it down back to where you it's running this inefficient junk, or even from the start to finish, from right now to the next 20, 30, 40 years or into infinity and beyond. We start now producing appliances that will run off of less energy to make them incredibly efficient. There's so many ways, probably even in the least efficient appliance that we've got right now, there are ways that we could modify each and every one of those to use less energy. It's like you don't need 120 to 220 volts AC to actually run a compressor that will run your refrigerator. You could take that 120 volts to 220 volt AC compressor out, put a 12 volt system in there, it'll do the same job. And if you understand how it's actually doing the job to begin with, then you could re-engineer it to where you didn't even need a compressor anymore. For example, is that when you heat up a gas, it expands. That produces pressure. And so if you energize gas into the plasma state using high voltage, whatever gas it is that you want to heat up, so you energize this gas and you pressurize it, and the whole entire system is closed so that you got a valve in between your gas chamber and you got a valve in between your expansion chamber. When you energize that gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma, it's not only hot, it's now pressurized. Once you get it to the temperature that you want, automatically a thermocouple or thermopile will recognize that it's up to the temperature that you want. and it will open the valve, releasing that gas rapidly into an expansion chamber and causing it to cool instantaneously. There's the heat exchange that's going on inside of your local air conditioner. Is it takes this gas, it pressurizes it, which causes it to get hot, and then it allows it to expand rapidly into a expansion chamber and a condenser, and causes it to get cold. And the temperature difference between the outside and the inside is why you build up moisture through condensation on the outside. It's why your air conditioner is dripping during the summertime. But all that is done via a compressor that compresses the air, or the gas inside there. And it's using mechanical force in order to build that pressure. That mechanical force is also generating heat, which is another loss of the system. And so, while that compressor is running, it has to have oil inside there to try to take away some of that heat. And that makes it even more less efficient. But if you take high voltage, high frequency, which doesn't require very much input whatsoever, and you energize the gas into the fourth state of matter, causing it to heat and pressurize, and then allow it to expand rapidly, you get the same effect that your air conditioner. You could have an air conditioner that would run off your USB drive. And if you think I'm crazy, go out and Google it up. You'll find that they actually have plasma globes that you can plug into your USB drive on your deal, because it uses the 5 volts to energize a high frequency, and you're actually seeing plasma in a globe that's running off of 5 volts. That's incredible efficiency. And I know there's somebody out there listening right now, probably beating their head against the wall, that's just talking about, oh, you just don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, this guy's so stupid. But if science says that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa, then that means if you can visibly see that, and that light that's coming off of that, then there's heat involved. And at the heart of that is the hottest portion of the deal. Now, I showed a video where basically I made a redneck hot tub using a coffee pot element to quite literally heat I don't even know how big that bathtub really was, probably several hundred gallons. And it wasn't insulated underneath, it wasn't insulated on the top, it was exposed to the air. And so I basically had to start heating that up, continue to put that energy to it, and it, 4 hours later, it would finally reach a temperature that where after that point it gets so hot you couldn't even use it. So let me try something here. Do. Never did get people for people to go. Nope. Anyway, apologize to those folks over there. Probably not missing much today anyway. So anyway, if you can see it, visible light, then you got heat. And with that redneck hot tub, I was able to, with 110 volts AC, heat all that water up and be able to sit in that thing in the dead of winter and be warm with the equivalence of a coffee pot element. So once you get this up to operating temperature, all you have to do is keep that energy flowing and it will maintain its temperature. It's as simple as that. So we have the technology right now to quite literally make air conditioning units that would be so incredibly energy efficient. You wouldn't have no wasted heat. You could go stand at the back of this doggone thing and it's not going to be blowing heat out the back. All it's going to be doing is blowing cold air about out front and back. That's it. because now you understand exactly how that heat transfer is actually working. See, it'll cool down your room. It'll pull all the heat out of your room, and it'll cool it down. And actually, because of the way an air conditioner works now, you could actually flip it around the other way and heat your doggone room with it, but you're still using the same amount of power to do so, which is quite inefficient. So, what Sky Collection showed is just basically one of many different options available on how to get energy to be so efficient that you could drop your light bill down to next to nothing. Wouldn't make the power company any happier, that's for sure. And if you were going to go off the power grid, and you started off from efficiency from the get-go, then you're going to design that system, you're going to design your house to run off the least amount of power right from start to finish. For example, if you're going to start, like, let's say you got a tiny house, and you know you're going to need lighting, that's going to be a plus because it's going to get dark outside. Right now, the most efficient using the standard form of energy would be LEDs as far as lighting purposes. But maybe you're not into LED lighting. Maybe you'd rather have incandescent lighting. So you could take and run 12-volt tungsten element light bulbs, but do it in a different fashion than what the standard current is, by taking and developing, instead of using regular wire like you would for your standard automobile, you go out and get the wire that they use for high voltage, like in the back of your TVs. There is this red wire that's in the back of your TV that has a really super high voltage insulator on it. And you take that wire and run that through some conduits, and probably metal would be just fine, and run that through that conduit so that if the insulation ever did fail, it's not going to start a fire. And then run that into your lighting system. So now you got a sealed system where you have a metal conduit where it has high voltage lines going through that are high frequency, that are still running your tungsten element lights. And the kicker about this is, if that tungsten element ever does break, it will not stop lighting. It will continue to light up because the high frequency, if worst case scenario, you have to turn it up just a little bit more and it would leap across that broken element and vibrate that tungsten in any way, generating friction, which in turn generates the heat and lights your bulb up. So you could start off with a tiny house that would be using a 12-volt power supply, using chemical batteries and capacitors for storage and power. You could bring power in from the sun. You could bring power in from the wind. You could bring power in for, if you live near a stream that has even slow-moving water, you could generate energy using whatever speed you got. And if you have like real acidic dirt around, you can make a chemical battery using the earth battery technology, two dissimilar metals that would also put energy into the system. So taking from what I said in the Free Thinkers series, which basically I put this down and showed people and wanted them to think it through. I wanted them to see something, but they had to think it through themselves. They had to tell me what they thought this thing was for. And it has everything from earth battery technology, galvanic action, radio technology, using things like germanium diodes and materials like aluminum that will pick up any radiant charge. using AC capacitors, DC capacitors, and batteries that are basically bone dry. They're dead. But they're storing energy nonetheless. Even a completely dead battery still has energy potential in it. When these plates are charged up, one of them plates has more energy on it than the other. And they want to be in balance. And as soon as you turn that light bulb on, that energy will flow right straight across to the other side. And when that finally balances itself out, the flow stops. When both pressures equalize on both of those plates, then the energy flow stops. That's called a dead battery. Then we take a battery charger and we charge it up and throw it off balance again, and there we go. And when batteries fail, it's because the system shorted out, which means maybe in like your lead acid battery, you built up a whole bunch of crud inside there that basically caused these two plates to become one, a dead short. And so now you got a bad cell in there. If you built your batteries to begin with to where they would continuously clean and refresh themselves, you'd have a battery that would last forever. As long as there wasn't material in there that was taking away the material that you were using, whether it be stainless plates or lead or whatever, and there's no reason why we have to use lead in batteries. Every single material will act the same way. And in a capacitor, two sheets of aluminum, all right? Well, it doesn't have to be aluminum. Any two metals would make a capacitor. And any two metals would make a battery. Because they're working basically the same way. You're throwing one plate off of balance with the other, and that energy wants to go somewhere. It's going to take the shortest path to wherever. And until you have a path for that energy to be able to travel, then that will continuously stay right where it's at. It's charged, it's ready to go. The moment you give it a path, it'll jump across. If it's got a big enough path, all that energy will transfer instantaneous. Bam! Both of these two plates are now balanced perfectly. They have the same amount of electrons on them as each other, and so you have a dead battery. So you don't need lead plates to make a battery. You can make batteries out of anything, but certain types of materials are more or less resistant to building up like during the electrolysis process where they exchange metals or causes things to, different types of metals to rust faster or actually impede rust. Lead seems to be one that lasts for a long time. There's lead acid batteries from back in the 60s that are still working today. For some reason they, weren't abused and they still function. I'd like to find out what the oldest battery in existence that still works, and that would be a good example of which one you might want to look into making like that. And there's two different types of batteries out there. Well, actually more than that, but anyway, your standard battery that's in your car doesn't have the same kind of plates that a heavy duty or a deep cycle battery would have. There's the thickness of the plates involved in there. Like, for example, I got a Bobcat 610, and it's a heavy-duty battery. It's made for a lot of bouncing around. It's made for, a lot of power, cold cranking amps and stuff like that. So it's a real heavy-duty battery, and it's a lot more expensive than your standard battery that just has the thin plates on there. But the surface area, the thickness of the plates, adding to that surface area and durability or whatever, is the difference between those kind of batteries. But when you get down to the basics of it, the simple of all of it, it's just about knowing how that energy is actually traveling. It's that ridiculously simple. And like I said, I make a lot of people mad who are supposedly really brilliant people because they say that I try to oversimplify that. Oh, it ain't that simple. It's more complex. There's math involved and there's this, all this and that. And they want to use a lot of high-tech terminology to try to tell me something that is ridiculously simple. You know, I have to look up the word entropy. Drives me nuts, man. The laws of physics and let me see if I can type this in. A thermodynamic quantity representing the unavailability of systems' thermal energy for conversion into mechanical work, often interpreted as the degree of disorder and randomness in the system, lack of order, predictability, gradual decline into disorder. Entropy is the general trend of universe towards death and disorder. I just saw one underneath there. It comes from Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Views expressed in the examples do not represent the opinion of Merriam-Webster. Oh, shut up. Yeah, let's see, what's the Wikipedia? The following is a list of additional definitions of entropy in collection textbook. I just want a simple answer. And whenever you go out there and try to ask the educated for a simple answer, they want to make it complicated and twisted and distorted. Basically, when you're talking about the laws of thermodynamics, you're talking about the dumbing down of science. You're talking about the dumbing down of people who believe themselves to actually be educated, but in retrospect, if you look back, then they were shammed. So if you quote the laws of physics as trying to use it for a reason why, that there's no such thing as free energy, you're not only fooling yourself, you're robbing the world of common sense and reality. I'm not even going to read it, because it aggravates me to no extent. The laws of thermodynamics is an excuse and a blockade for why you cannot do things. It's ridiculousness in its finest, under the guise of education. And so everyone that throws those terminology about entropy and losses due to whatever, they have not paid attention in science class. And they have absolutely no understanding of how energy actually travels, which is so ridiculously simple that it's mind-blowing. I mean, if you can watch water going down a river, if you can understand how water reacts, whether on any surface, and how water can be pressurized, how different types of pipes or plumbing or whatever, how water can be destructive and eat away at a surface. Everything that you can explain about water, you can also explain about what we call electricity. It's that simple. It's so ridiculously simple, it's ludicrous. And so when I am having to listen to people who are talking about laws of thermodynamics, I'm listening to somebody who wants to sound intelligent. They really believe that they are smart. They, as a matter of fact, they probably got the best grades in their class, and they learned how to parrot the laws of thermodynamics so eloquently that now, if anyone challenges that, such as telling them that you can actually engineer an engine to run on pure distilled water, knowing the mechanics and the physics of the water molecule, you can actually engineer an engine that will use water as its fuel source. This person will argue until they're blue in the face, and they will go right to the laws of thermodynamics to justify the idiocy that they just spewed out to you to try to convince you of why it is that you are wrong. Now, I don't call it mad science for nothing. Now, you got to tell me something. Either the water molecule is hydrogen and oxygen, or it is not. Either the water molecule separated is one explosive and one implosive gas, or it is not. And if basic science says that if you light a match near an explosive or even an implosive gas, you will get a reaction. It takes three things to start a fire. It takes a fuel source, an oxygen source, and an ignition source. And you have a fire. So if I light a match near oxygen and hydrogen, I get an interesting reaction. But to say that you can't use it for fuel and try to use the laws of thermodynamics to quote the idiocy that you spewed out is ridiculous. Flat out ridiculous. So, I'm sitting here, I'm trying to, I'm trying to figure out why it is the world the way it is. This video that Sky Collection put out is really impressive. Most people would have looked right over what he did. He understands what he did. Maybe not as much as if he really, really realized what he just showed everybody. He basically gave you the key to efficiency. Understanding how the power company does it, and understanding how he showed right there, what you saw in that deal was exactly what the power industries have known all along. So it's not new. And it doesn't take any specific type of coil to do so. Because every single coil out there, cloth cover wire, those are just basically railroad tracks and plumbing. Thick wire will give you current flow because it allows a lot of electron flow at the same time. Thin wire will resist that current flow and give you higher voltages via pressure. The same exact thing that you see with water. You got a big giant pipe and you got this amount of water going through there. That water can just move freely and it just pours on down the line. When you put any kind of restriction to it, while you take the pipe and you reduce it down to half its size, now you just slowed down the current and increased the pressure of that water. That's exactly what's going on with electricity. If you understand plumbing, then you understand electricity. It's that simple. So now that we got all this knowledge, now we need to take all this knowledge and start engineering things and remodifying things to work on less amount of input, which is not that big of a deal, because like I said before, these electric motors, they don't care where that magnetic field comes from. They just need the two magnetic fields to interact. Positives will repel positives, negatives will attract each other, or opposites will attract Positives will repel. We figured that out. And so all you need is that field to be just strong enough to reach out and touch that other one. And maybe not even touch, because magnetic fields are like that. You know, if they're the same polarity, they're going to want to attract each other, and they will actually become one field. If they are of opposite polarity, they are going to repel each other at every cost, every turn. You're not going to get them together. You're not going to keep them together. So, what nature pretty much just showed you right there was how to use energy to get mechanical force. I don't know what more to say. If anybody feels like they want to call in, feel free to do so. You can give me a break. But I haven't done a video in about a month or so. Been busy with all kinds of stuff. Lost my motivation from people being rude and ridiculous. And so I kind of took a break on the videos. But I'm going to get back into it, and I'm going to start making more videos. And I'll put all these concepts on the table, and hopefully people will pick them up. That rotary spark gap that I put out there, I hoped that people would actually run with that idea. Because you're getting not only the energy as it's on its way out, but you're also getting the energy as it's collapsing back to its natural balance. Imagine when you blow up a balloon, there's a force going one direction that is actually blowing that balloon up. And that force is usable energy on the way to actually expanding that balloon. Once that balloon is filled up, if you release that pressure that you're pushing into that balloon, it's going to put the equal amount of power back in the opposite direction. Every time you energize a coil in a transformer, you're blowing up a balloon. And when you take the power off of that, that pressure then in turn collapses and goes back in the opposite direction. Now when we blow up the balloon in a coil and we use that expanding field to interact with a permanent magnet or even another induced coil on the opposite side to produce rotation, on the way for that, once that field is on the way back in the other direction, what they call back EMF or flyback, that is energy being wasted. You can catch that energy on the way out. You can catch that energy on the way in. And we can build electric motors that will use the electromotive force in one direction and grab that energy back up on the way back out, because it's still the same amount of energy. Once you blow up that balloon, whatever force it took to blow up that balloon, you have the equal amount of force left inside that balloon ready to be released at any given time. So you just forced it out, blew up the balloon, got a reaction, and then if you pinch it off there, hold that pressure in there. You can hold that pressure in there as long. I showed a video called Physics Toy where I showed you can actually store air pressure in that toy. And using everything from vacuum, what knowledge is of vacuums, to pressure, and so on and so forth, you got a toy that would explain how you could store energy and reuse the energy anytime you want, and it will stay in there. As long as there's no path for that air to escape, it will stay in there. If there's no place for it to leak, it will stay pressurized. It's that simple. And all the electricity that we keep talking about works exactly the same way. So capacitor technology, if you understand how energy travels, any path, even an open air path, when you got a battery sitting there fully charged and you don't use it for a long time and you wonder why it lost some charge over time, that's because even the atmosphere around it is allowing a little tiny bit of each one of these electrons to make their way back over to the top, even however so slowly, because the air itself can transfer that energy. Any moisture build up along there that has any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like when you get dirt in your water, impurity. The dust on the top of your battery going from terminal to terminal, you got this battery sitting on the shelf and the dust is building up over there. And then for some reason it builds up just enough moisture to where now those batteries, those terminals, are actually have a path for the electrons to flow through that impurity all the way to the other side and equal it out, and your battery goes dead. So if you had a way by which you could actually hook you some wires up to a battery, shrink wrap the battery so that the battery could never get dirty and never get wet, then until you connected some load to the opposite sides of that battery would hold its charge. And so we actually have the technology, like right now, to literally build batteries that won't go dead. If you think about how that energy goes from one side of that terminal to the next, and you think about all the possibilities of ways by which I lost my train of thought. I started reading something. Anyway, okay, I got it back now. So if you think about how much energy is available out there, just by putting a solar panel on the roof of your vehicle, as long as the sun's out, that battery will keep charging. And as long as you have a charge controller on there, it will never overcharge, and all that energy that the charge controller then in turn dumps, it'll put it into another backup battery or capacitor bank. And I'm going to say hi to my friend Giorgio Armani out there. He says, I like the radio show, but we need training from you to build things. It's good you explain things, but we need training. We can all share ideas and discoveries together. Giorgio, I'm trying to put together what I call the dream team. Been trying for years to bring the most brilliant minds to the table, and the dream team basically would be those people you just mentioned. It'd be people with the good ideas, it'd be people with skill sets. You know, there's people out there who can run milling machines, there's people out there who own milling machines, there's people out there who are great carpenters and electricians and so on and so forth. And so these people right there, if you could get the right team and everyone in that team would keep their egos at bay and basically work with one another, everything what I've been sitting here talking about and all these research things that we posted out here, we could build. We could build these systems so fast. It would be nice to be able to just walk into a room of brilliant individuals and say, look guys, I got an idea. And then we take that idea from idea to concept to actual working prototype right there and then and that day. That's how we get these things done. If we had access to people who really seriously want to utilize every bit of knowledge that we have available to us to give the world free energy, the only thing we're waiting on is for the team to gather. It's as simple as that. See, I don't want to ask anybody for money. All I want to do is give away every bit of knowledge that I've got available to me in hopes that people will take that idea and run with it to see how far you can take that idea. For the most part, I've had to tolerate being called everything under the sun because the supposed educated people of the world, they've been indoctrinated into believing that things aren't possible for so long that they refuse to step outside of that box. And the same people who say that we got to save the planet are the last people that will come to the table and help get work done. The governments, the environmentalists of the world, they don't want to put the effort towards getting anything done. They'll pay somebody else to do work for them, but they don't want to do it. There are no environmentalists out there that really care about the environment. Otherwise, this wouldn't even be an issue. If they honestly believed in what they spewed out, you know, then we would have these resolved because we have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to resolve every single issue under the sun, and yet you still have people out there protesting save the environment, but yet doing absolutely nothing to resolve it. You got power companies out there in all different types of industries, coal fire power plants, nuclear power plants, hydroelectric power plants, all these different industries out there, fuel industries as far as gasoline or diesel or propane or whatever. These industries out there make a living on selling you what they classify as fossil fuel, which is a complete and utter misnomer, but nonetheless, they sell you crude oil that has been broke down in all different directions to make all different types of gases and all different types of fuel. And at the same sense, they don't want you to come out telling people you can run a car on water, which you can, if it's engineered to do so. But if it isn't engineered to do so, then you have to engineer it to work in harmony with that engine. You know, once you understand how the water molecule and everything functions, then you know what to do with it. You know that water is the most stable molecule on the planet. Water is also the most powerful and the most destructive molecule on the planet. You know that the water molecule separates into hydrogen and it separates into oxygen, one explosive and one implosive force. You know that water in a liquid form cannot be compressed. And so water can be used as hydraulic fluid because you can't compress a liquid. However, you can use the laws of physics to change the state of that water to a gas, which now can be compressed and also can be pressurized. So when you boil the water, you get the water molecules and they're beginning to vibrate and friction and then separate. And then finally, you got what we call steam. Anything past that becomes superheated steam. And if it's in a confined area where it has no escape, it will overpressurize the container and produce this massive explosion. And the process of that compression ignition will cause the combustion, and you get a hydrogen explosion. But we know how and why we can do things with water. And so start to finish, you engineer this engine to do exactly what you wouldn't want to do in a boiler system, cause a lot of pressure. Too much pressure. But you're doing it on a different scale. You're causing enough pressure because you want to separate the water molecule. And you're not having to use the old style electrolysis process to do so. You can use everything from compression, like air compressor technology, induction heating technology, compression ignition, vaporization, atomization and vaporization technology. And you can use all these forces of everything from all these separate deals to combine into a focused heat engine that will take the water from one state, heat it up, break it down again, and send it in at just the necessary quantity to cause it this gas vapor to go inside there, and between the compression and the temperature inside that cylinder, cause combustion that will slam that piston down and run that just like as if you had gasoline in it. And to run it so incredibly efficient that you have no carbon blow by in your oil or out the exhaust. And if the environmentalists out there like really seriously believe what it is that I'm saying, they wouldn't be out there protesting. They would be beating the power structure at their own game by bringing the dream team together and specifically engineering machinery to run off of just exactly what I explained. And once everybody and his brother out there had a generator that would run on pure distilled water, then you wouldn't have to worry about the power companies, because you can't sell a product to somebody who doesn't need your product. This is why they shut us down. Because they do not want us to take money out of their pocket. It's that simple. And in the drug industry, it's the same exact thing. Why would you want somebody giving people a cure, even though it's natural and free in nature, if you want to sell drugs? When people understand how this system works, and they understand how and why it is that they were dumbed down with the laws of thermodynamics and things like that, then they'll stop arguing with people like me, and they'll start paying attention to each other, and they'll start getting work done. So I don't call this mad science for nothing. When I say the laws of thermodynamics are a hockahooey, I say it intentionally to bring them to the table so that they want to debate it. I put the challenge out. I threw the gauntlet down to any scientist out there, any so-called brilliant individual out there. I bring them to the table. But they ain't got the guts. They ain't got the knowledge to compete with what I have to offer. Otherwise, they'd have been here a long time ago. And when they do show up, and you watch, I will make them so mad that they will leave, because I'm testing their religion. I'm testing their Scientology. But it's all physics. It's all science. Exactly how it was taught in the school book years ago. It's what they said. Water was hydrogen and oxygen, which makes it a fuel. It makes it a hydraulic fluid. It makes it a life-giving force. It makes it a cutting tool. It makes it so much. And you're going to sit there and tell me, as a little kid in science class, all the wonders of water, and then tell me years later that you can't do certain things with it? That we're ever going to run out of it? According to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be neither created nor destroyed. Every bit of water that was on this planet when this planet was formed is still here. Every bit of material that was on this planet when this planet was formed is still here. Even when you burn something, it's not gone. It just changes chemistry. And all the chemistry of everything out there is still here. That's how brilliant it is. It's how ridiculously simple. We think we're wasting. And we to some extent we do waste, but nature doesn't. Nature wastes nothing. Everything gets recycled back into the same self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. there's more power available on this planet, in this system that we live in, to last for a trillion, 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 trillion lifetimes. You are never, ever, ever going to run out of food. You are never, ever, ever going to run out of energy. You are never, ever, ever going to run out of water or any resource on this planet. It is physically impossible. It is not physically possible. According to all physics, all science, all reality, it is not possible for us to run out of anything. Everything that is built and utilized is basically rejuvenated, reintroduced into the system, even you yourself. You ain't going to lose nothing. Now, because we ain't figured out how to utilize it in its most efficient manner, there are people who literally die of starvation on this planet. They then get recycled into the system, and another person is born. And we repeat the process. We give birth to them, we starve them to death, or we shoot them in war, and the ridiculousness continues. But everybody who was ever on this planet is still on this planet to this very day. Everybody. Everything that has ever existed, that has ever been utilized, is still on this planet. Or flat plane, or whatever it is you think, a dodecahedron, hollow earth, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything that was in this system to start is here today. If you believe it was billions of years ago, everything that was here a billion years ago is still present today. If you only think it was 1,000 years ago, everything that was here 1,000 years ago is still present here today. We have lost nothing. And if you can't find free energy, it is simply because you are not looking for it. If people in this world are starving, it's because of all the other people in the world who choose to starve them. If people are able to have electricity for heating and cooling and whatever, to filter their water, to clean everything up, to for medicines and all this kind of stuff, if people in this world can't have access to that, it's because they have been denied by the rest of the people of this world that we live in. That's it. It's plain and simple. And all the wars and ridiculousness that we have to contend with on a regular basis are totally unnecessary. Stephen said, "Don't say dodecahedron." I love that. Yep, that's it. But that's why I call it mad science, folks. It's because I'm sitting here telling everybody, we have everything we need. We have the answers. When the world is ready, then we will come together and we will make it so. But until then, it's just yelling on the radio or putting out a video or trying to get people to wake up to reality. We got everything we need. We got everything we need to end all the wars, end all the sickness, end all the starvations, and basically become the advanced humanity was ever meant to be. We can become so incredibly enlightened and finally get our act together and have a wonderful world to live in for every single man, woman, and child. We have that. We have always had that. We allowed greed and stupidity and selfishness and ego to basically take away from common sense, life, liberty, and the pursuit of justice and freedom for all kind of stuff. I'm trying to tell you people how to get free energy. I'm trying to show you the proof I'm trying to do whatever I can to bring common sense back to a world gone awry. Every bit of knowledge necessary for every single person on this planet to have free energy is here. And it's not no magical hoodoo voodoo, you gotta love your reactor kind of stuff. It's a kind of all you gotta do is understand how that energy travels, what you can do with that energy, and how to engineer machines that will utilize it to its greatest efficiency. We have all that knowledge. We have had all that knowledge all along. I want to see how far humanity can really go. I want to see how far that we can take our minds and how much good that we can do in the world. I don't want to see anybody dying of starvation. I don't want to see anybody have to drink dirty water. We got water filtration systems that are mind-blowing. We got water filtration systems that'll take the nastiest radioactive doo-doo filled water and clean it up. Listen, I said this a million times or more. Everything out there, Nature has showed everyone how to clean stuff up. And there is not one single thing that mankind has ever put together that nature can't take apart. Every chemical that ever was here is here. It's just you mix this one with that one and you get something different. If you understand what I just said, you mix salt with water and you got seawater. It's that simple. When you don't want the salt in the water now, because the water has basically, you know, broke down the salt, and now the water is not drinkable for your humans. And so you take this water and you use science to desalinate it, to take all the salt out of it. Nature has done that for all the time that this planet has been here. It gets hot out there, water evaporates, it goes up into the clouds, it floats over this way, and it rains down as clean, fresh water that is drinkable into your ponds, your lakes, your creeks, and then down into your aquifers and your wells. It came from the ocean, it made it to your drinking glass. Nature did it. Now, once you understand the process of how nature did that, now you have the means and the knowledge to make sure that nobody in this world ever have to drink nasty water again, filled with viruses and parasites and all that. Look, I put the call out I don't know how many times. I'm begging and pleading anyone listening to my voice right now. Go out there and find your best engineers. Go out there and find your most avid environmentalist. Go out there and find anyone who says that they want to fix this world. And bring them to the table. If you got somebody who believes themselves to be so incredibly intelligent and have graduated from college and whatever, don't bring them to the table. Because they will basically kill the process. through their own ignorance. Now, if they're willing to sit down and have a decent conversation and a respectful debate about things, then they're welcome to the table. But I want those folks out there who claim that they want results, bring them to the table. Senators, congressmen, anybody out there who's in any kind of environmental movement whatsoever, environmental activists, all of them, find them. And we will sit down and I will explain to them in graphic detail how we can save the planet. Without all this hoodoo voodoo version of the so-called global warming hockahooey, biggest scam in the history of scams, and all these mainstream scientists sitting out there propagating the propaganda or perpetrating the propaganda, spreading it, lying it, they should be ashamed of themselves. And anyone dumb enough to believe that the mainstream scientists, oh, they got it right, you know, they went to college, they got a degree, and you don't. Yeah, the heck do you say I don't have a degree? I attended the University of Mad Science, and you can too. Scroll up there in the Super Chat room. You'll see a button. Click on that button. I'm going to open that link in a new tab because I don't want to jump out of the Super Chat. Take the test. Mad Science University Finals Test. Answer the one question. One question. On that exam. And if you don't get it right the first time, go back and do it a second time. Or 100 times. Answer that one question. And when you get that question, it'll bring you up to your diploma that all you gotta do is print it out, sign your name, put it on a plaque, and you too will have a degree from the University of Mad Science. I challenge anyone out there, I don't care who it is, bring your best scientists to the table. Bring your best of your best. And have them go toe-to-toe with Shaziz. I'm not going to sit there and argue terminology with them or semantics or let them turn and twist my words. I'm going to blow their doors off with hardcore facts. Same science that they swear by is a reason why we can't proves that we can. Bring them to the table. I will guarantee you that not one of them has the courage to face Shaziz. Not one of them has the guts. And not one of them has the education that can overcome common sense. Even though they use their education to neglect common sense at every single turn, University of Mad Science, question, do you believe everything you hear and repeat it and never think outside the box for yourself? No. Congratulations. You graduated. University of Mad Science Diploma. This certificate of graduation is presented to Shaziz. On insert date here, Shaziz Mad Science Outside the Box Thinker with Shaziz signature on there. I just graduated again from the University of Mad Science. And you can cheat on the test as long as you believe in the answer. go over there, take the test, print out your diploma, wear it proudly on the wall, and share it with others. I don't believe every doggone thing that they tell me I can't do, because science and physics says otherwise. That's why we're here today. So bring them on. Bring on the debunkers. Bring on the trolls and the shills and the government individuals and the corporations. And bring them all on. They got some explaining to do. Why are we sitting in the year 2018 and somebody can't get a fresh drink of water somewhere on this planet? Why are we talking about food shortages? There's still the same amount of material on this planet, has always been on this planet. Everything required to grow anything has already been provided. And if the environment changed in this section, then go over in that section. And if the environment is terrible on the outside, build you a greenhouse for Pete's sake. The chemistry is still the same. The greenhouses fill their greenhouses when everybody's in there full of carbon dioxide because they know that their plants love it. They understand the chemistry. That's right, Stephen said, the Shaziz face-to-face challenge. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. I'm putting the challenge out to anybody. You think that you know it all? Step up to the plate. You think that this world is so devastated that we can't repair it? Step up to the plate. If you think our environment is in jeopardy, step up to the plate. If you're looking for answers and in ways to fix it and resolutions, step up to the plate. Because it isn't just me. There are thousands of people out there who put idea after idea, solution after solution on the table, and all you got to do is take those pieces of the puzzle, put them together, and I'm here to say that when you're ready to do so, we do it together, and it gets done. That's it. It's as simple as that. Meantime, back at the ranch, Snidely Whiplash has got his hand in the cookie jar, and you're being taxed into oblivion. For everything from drinking water to the air you breathe. When you're tired of it, the solution is to come together. If you like the status quo, then if Pete and Repeat's in a boat and Pete falls out, who's left? Well, Pete. Repeat. Pete and Repeat's in a boat and Pete falls out, who's left? Repeat. If Pete and Repeat's in a boat and Pete falls out, who's left? Repeat. And that's the same thing we're doing. You're not going to run out of water. You might poison our environment so doggone bad that all of humanity will be wiped out. So, if you're a evolutionist, then you'll believe that we'll be back and we'll do it again. If you're a creationist, then you believe that there will be a higher power that will come down and resolve it all. If you're a person like myself, you believe that if you understand nature and you understand science and you understand the mechanical workings of how all this stuff functions and you really want to get your act together and ensure that nobody starves and nobody's homeless and nobody's sick, you have had the power all along to resolve every single issue under the sun when you choose to do so. I'm just a motivational speaker who paid attention in science class. That's it. And I'm ready for anyone out there to bring their best environmental activist to the table to debate old crazy heritages is. Bring the most hardcore scientist out there. Bring it on. Bring on NASA. Put them all out here. It's time for a final showdown between mad science and the ridiculousness so-called mainstream science. It's time for the final battle. between good and evil, dark and light. It's time to get it on. Bring all of them. Bring them to the table. And we'll talk about solutions. You know, your average Joe wants you to make a cake, and so that they can eat it too. The average Joe don't want to get in there and help you make the cake, but they want to be able to enjoy the cake. I started an experiment many years ago to see whether I could build a dream team, whether or not I could actually motivate people to do things to save this world. And I tested the water in every single direction under every single subject possible, dealing with science, physics, and reality. And I wanted to see, how much would I be suppressed? How much would I be attacked? How much would I be assisted? How many people would come together? And what I found out was that humans are creatures of habit. They will take the hard road every time instead of the easy path. Yeah, Stephen said, yeah, if anyone knows Neil deGrasse Tyson, tell him Shaziz would like a word. That's true. I sit there... That would be the best of the best. Throw old Bill Nye the Science Guy in there too. Bring them both. I'm putting the word out. Not one of them individuals has the guts or the education to stand against Shaziz. Not one of them. The experiment that I've been doing all these years, not just in alternative energy, but in society itself. Because I watched prior to me, guys like Tesla, they didn't have no problem eating the cake. They didn't have no problem enjoying the technology. What they did have a problem was getting in there to help. And somebody wanted to make money off of something that nature had provided for free. And somebody recognized that energy should be free for everyone. Just like water and air should be free for everyone, because it all belongs to nature and it belongs to everybody. And for that person's effort, he was mocked and ridiculed and stolen from. Stan Myers, same thing. John Bedini and his brother, same thing. Joseph Newman, same thing. You take any list off of all these people out there in the alternative energy who went mainstream, and you will see the same thing. They were mocked, ridiculed, debunked, basically belittled or whatever, everything that they could basically discredit. They were discredited. And so knowing that going in the gate, and to see whether or not it's possible to bring people together to fight against the system by putting things on the shelves, that if, you know, certain, it's funny, you go out and you buy a washing machine. The old style washing machines used to have a transmission in them. And so they also had to have a belt. Well, now you have parts that eventually will fail. Bearings, belts break, or motors burn out from heat and friction, and so on. Gears, they lose their seal and get water down, and they break down. Well, they got a direct drive washing machine now. Samsung, Fisher & Paykel's, two of them. And it has a Pulse DC stator motor in there, permanent magnet, and it doesn't need a transmission. It doesn't need belts. Doesn't need half of what the old style washing machines, but functions even better than they did before and more efficiently. Those particular motors are generators right out of the gate without any modifications whatsoever. They're generators. So if you can get a hold of one of those old motors out of one before it goes to the scrapyard, you just hit the gold mine. You can carve a prop from a 2x4 like old Muddy did from Green Wind and other home energies. Muddy Mud Man, go look him up on YouTube and see how he carves his props for windmills. And you mount that to that motor and put it up on a pole and you got a wind turbine. So even in the trash, you're going to find treasure. And if you didn't understand how energy traveled, and if you didn't understand what all this was about, you wouldn't even have a clue that right in your house, you've got generators in your house. That, in worst case scenario, you could turn that ceiling fan and some magnets into a generator. You could turn that ceiling fan without any magnets into an alternator. See, in an alternator, you have to energize the coil, and that is the magnetic field necessary for when the rotation occurs to change between north and south. So you can turn an AC motor, any AC motor, into quite literally an alternator like the one in your car. A permanent magnet motor is a generator, using permanent magnets to change that magnetic field. But if you put a wave inside of one coil, it's going to produce a changing magnetic field in the other coil, in the armature, which is what will produce the rotation, the mechanical force. So, while people are sitting around trying to figure out ways to build generators creatively, guys like Sky Collection out here is showing how to basically use that energy and not produce the lens force, which was one of the losses that would have occurred in the standard model. It's a brilliant video. He speaks Spanish, so if you don't understand Spanish, you just watch it and pay attention, and you've heard what I said about it, so you'll understand what's going on. He's got a coil, he's got a magnet spinning real fast past his coil, and it's producing the change in magnetic field at a high frequency, which is sending energy down through that capacitor, using that capacitor as a spark gap, and then lighting up the light bulb and not causing any backup, and adds an extra storage on there that every time he shorted that out, you could see that capacitor was charged. And there's no limitation on how many capacitors you could run in parallel off the side of that thing. And there's probably no limit to how many capacitors you could actually run in series in that same system. Because all it's looking for is a path. That high frequency is going to jump every single one of those gaps. It's looking for a path to ground. And as long as the gap isn't so far apart, which it isn't inside the capacitors, it's going to build up enough pressure in that first capacitor to still be able to jump across the second capacitor and so on down the line. And that's how voltage doublers, and that's how tasers and all the different stun guns out there work, by ramping that voltage up and basically making it as high as possible. It'll leap across those two big old arcs and then knock somebody's stuff in the dirt. It'll lay out. We have the power to harness lightning. We have the power to harness hydroelectric from water pressure pushing paddles or turbines. We have the power to grab wind. Everything that nature does, we have the power to interact with nature and utilize that power in order to generate all the electricity necessary, all the energy necessary to run every single appliance on this planet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions into infinity and beyond without ever, ever running out of nut. And without ever, ever adversely affecting the environment. It's that simple. And so, with that said, you've seen what history has showed of how people dig the earth up for coal, and they dig the earth up for everything else, all different types of materials, radioactive uranium, and americium and all different types of stuff like that. And you see how they take what nature's already provided and they will combine, they basically build these machines that will take the heaviest, most densest materials and sling them to one side and the lightest ones to the other side. And then they take the most highly radioactive portions of each ones that got from the other side, and they combine these together in highly refined radioactive ceramic rods that they in turn boil water with. Only getting 2% efficiency out before the rest of it is considered depleted, not efficient enough to actually boil water to the standard necessary to run anywhere from a 650 to 1250 PSI boiler system that is turning turbines, which is turning generators, which is then in turn pushing power down the line for you. So, whether it be coal, oil, propane, methane, gasoline, diesel, or whatever, all of which came from the environment, and even after it's used up, goes back into the environment, and you're still paying for it. You'll pay for a glass of water, you'll pay for every breath you take, and you'll pay for every resource under the sun, and include the sun and the moon, as long as we the people decide that we don't want to take control of our own lives. We don't want to clean up after ourselves. We don't want to do the work. We don't want to step outside the box. We want the electric man to keep the lights on. We want the water man to keep the water going. We want everything we want, and we never want to give. Those of us who really do want to give will try to share everything that we got with one another, and we get along fine. The rest of the people out there, they go to war. They go to war because they don't like each other's beliefs. They don't like the way each other looks. They want something the other guy's got. That's my land. That's not your land. That was my land before it was your land. Blah, blah. Every single one of them fighting over something that belongs to each and every one of you and me. But if the day ever came that humanity finally got tired and said enough's enough, if the average Joe ever decided that they really seriously wanted to be free, you have it within your power to beat every single government, every single secret society, every single agency out there, every single power company, every single fuel industry, every single mechanical, electrical engineers, and all of these, you have the power and the knowledge to quite literally change the world and take away their power. You have it. And you're steadily losing it. Because your children who are going to school are being told that it's not possible. But you got to be a patriot. You got to go to college and you got to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to become smart so that you can get a good job, even though the majority of them work in Walmart and other places like that, and have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of debt and can't even read a clock on the wall. Unless it's a digital clock, they can't read an analog clock. And it's a shame. It's a crying shame. There are people who don't even know what the Constitution of the United States is. See, you can lose it before you ever even knew it was yours. And when people are deliberately educating the children of the world to the extent that we keep them in that box, to keep them subservient as slaves to the system, or cattle to be used and abused any time necessary, they use this technology to categorize you into the fighters, the lovers, the freaks, geeks, and weirdos. They put you in those categories, and then whenever they need something done, they will push your button. And you'll go out there and you'll fight against your brothers and sisters in the world just because they push your button. I got it figured out. And so do you. If you pay attention to the truth. If you paid attention in science class to even understand a fraction of what I explained today, then you're already halfway there. We have the capabilities to build self-contained, self-sustained energy systems that will work in perfect harmony with nature, utilizing all the best of the best technologies and all their physics and science to put things where they need to be so that they work in perfect harmony with what nature's already doing. And once you get to that point, if that volcano is regulated because you're pulling power and energy off of it, chances are that volcano ain't never going to pop because you're using that power. It don't ever have time to get too much power. The gases that build up underneath the ground, you can drill down in there to those gases and you can tap into those gases and you've got free natural gas. And if I'm wrong, and the physics and the science isn't true, what I'm saying, then why is the natural gas companies making money after all these years? They ain't never running out of gas. Those gas pipelines never go dry because the chemistry reaction that's going on underneath the ground is still going on and has been going on since day one. But yet, over there in the Middle East and in Europe, they're fighting over natural gas pipelines. Who's going to have power? Who's going to have control of it? When in reality, you got natural gas pipelines probably in your general vicinity. Natural gas pockets. Whether it be methane gas or whatever. You got access to those. And if you understand how nature actually functions, you can replicate the same cycle. You can replicate the same chemistry that nature does to produce methane. which is a fuel. So, I set out to study everything that there is to know about alternative energy. I've got that accomplished. There isn't nothing that anyone out there can tell me about energy anymore. There might be new methods, new materials that I haven't seen to this date. But I understand the chemistry, I understand the physics, I understand the mechanics of all of what nature does. And I understand that if we decide to utilize it in an efficient manner, then we have every single thing necessary that so that nobody in this world has to do without. I'm ready, but is the rest of the world ready? Are the Shazuzes of the world, the Albert Einsteins, the brilliance, whatever. I only like Einstein for his hairdo. Rest of it, you gotta have a mad science hairdo if you're gonna be a mad science guy. Nonetheless, Teslas and Bedinis and all the different people out there. See, the problem was some of them wanted to get rich, because in this world you have to be rich in order to be able to get things done, to be able to afford to build things. And they had visions of grandeur, which I don't. I don't want to get rich. I don't ever want to be rich, because if I was rich, I'd spend all the money and I'd be broke again. And I'd spend all the money making things that I talk about all the time. Free energy devices. And probably wouldn't make nobody happy. Probably get myself shot. But nonetheless. And so, basically what I'm trying to say is that, trying to put a message out there. I know when people out there in this world are filthy, stinking rich, that their lives change to the extent where they want to stay rich because it's a wonderful, lavish lifestyle and it feels good to have some power and be able to do whatever you want, whenever you want, and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't want that. It'd be nice to be able to afford any piece of equipment that I wanted. It'd be nice to be able to have all the tools necessary to do all the ideas that I got. It would be nice. Dad, burn it. How in the heck did that happen? Anyway, I'm trying to put an... are you kidding me? Oh, I'm sitting here trying to give a message to somebody. Remove message. Yes. Alright, so... sorry about that. Got distracted again. That happens a lot. Squirrel! I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be famous. I don't want no notoriety. I want common sense to rule the day. I want to live in a world of peace, love, and happiness. I want my kids to do the same. Somebody said that there was a problem, so I stepped forward because I had a little bit of knowledge in a particular subject. And never realized that I was going to come up against such craziness. But once I did, I just started to experiment to find out whether or not I could even get people to work together. Yeah, that's the deal. Because I'm just one guy. And as far as researches, yeah, it would be nice to be able to buy up a whole bunch of 3D printers and just anything I can think about I can make. You put me with the dream team, and we will have a really good time, and we'll get a lot of work done. And I'm willing to Skype in or whatever to anybody who's really seriously about wanting to get things done. We try. I want to put round tables together. I wanted the doggone virtual labs thing, like Mark Brash over there at Zero Fossil Fuels. He has a live stream of his lab going all the time. And his link is down there underneath the chat rooms. It's Zero Fossil Fuel. Click on that. Go over and say hi to Mark. Tell him I said hi. Tell him I said to say hi. His YouTube channel is on underneath one of the chat rooms down there as well. So, when I hear all the doom and gloomers out there running around saying that we're going to have food shortages, I go insane. When I hear all the doom and gloomers running around saying that we're going to have water shortages, I go insane. When I hear all the doom and gloomers running around saying that we're going to have fuel shortages, I go insane. Every single time that I hear all the craziness, all the BS of the sky is falling, we're all going to die, I go insane. Because these folks out there that are in the government, they only get by with things because they're allowed to, because you choose to let them do this. And these folks that are out there in the fuel industries, they're only selling you stuff because you choose to buy it. And they've got you in so deep that now you have a car that runs off of gasoline or diesel or propane or hybrid electric or whatever. And you need certain things from them because you don't have the capabilities of making them yourself. You don't have the tools. But I would venture to say that you probably do have the tools. You probably do have the resources. And if you don't, your neighbor does. And if you decided that you wanted to get together with your neighbor and build a mini refinery that would make your own gasoline out of old recycled bottles. I mean, serious. Think about it. What is plastic made from? What is rubber made from? What is the majority of all the things that you throw in the trash made from? And these computer monitors that I'm looking at, there's plastic right there. There's plastic, there's gold, there's silver, there's aluminum, there's brass, there's all kinds of materials available right there. But 9 times out of 10, when these things are done being used, when they no longer function and it costs too much to go out and buy one, these end up in a landfill somewhere. If properly recycled, you could turn this plastic into more products, or you could turn this plastic into fuel for your car. Because it's all made from the same stuff. Oil. Crude oil. Yep. Look it up. Somebody proved me wrong. See, Neil just found out Shaziz wants to debate. I gotta click on this link. Ha! He's like, oh no, I don't want none of that. Oh, that's funny. Oh, you got to see this link, folks. If you're listening in, jump over there to the superchat.html and click on that link. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he don't want none of Shaziz. I'm serious. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Bring the President of the United States. Bring the Senators and the Congressmen. Bring all these people from foreign countries. I don't care if China wants to know. I'll tell China every bit. I don't care. Bring your foreign leaders. Bring them all. And if they want to try to steal the ideas and run away, that'll just prove everything that I said. Bring them all. If there's a developing nation out there that would take this information and run with it, bring them. If you're standing next to the ocean and you're dying of thirst, it is because you didn't pay attention in science class. Well, I did, and I'm here to give you the information that you missed. It's that simple. I'm here to give you the information that you missed. So, for those of you who need to know how to desalinate water, it's ridiculously simple, and you can do it with trash found on the beach. There's a man who actually put a video out, shows you how to desalinate salt water using a couple bottles that he found off the beach, using the difference between heat and cool. You can use cruddy cold water to make clean water by boiling other cruddy water using materials that are laying around. Glass, which is basically sand, is a good insulator. And so you can make temperature differences. You can heat the sand up and transfer heat that way, or you can use the sand to hold in cool, or whatever. Vice versa. Thermos. But if you're standing next to the ocean and you can't get a fresh drink of water, it's because you didn't pay attention in science class. Or you're just not willing to make the effort. Nonetheless. The people in Dubai figured it out. They're doing just fine. Now it's time to get that knowledge over to other people in other climates that aren't as friendly. You can pull water out of thin air because the atmosphere itself is hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, and whatever trace gases might be out there. In a humid climate, you probably get more water than you would in a drier climate, but nonetheless, even in a drier climate, there are situations by which there are plants nearby that actually absorb water and store it for long periods of time. So if you can't find fresh water, you're not looking for it. And you didn't pay attention in science class. But we've had dehumidifiers for years. They use a temperature difference to pull moisture out of your room so that you don't get mold and mildew buildup. A air conditioner uses pretty much what the dehumidifier does. Heat exchange, HVAC, heating and cooling, hand in hand, physics. It's basically simple. We can build machinery using solar power that will basically, you could take and build a box right now with materials that we have available, go set it out in the middle of the desert where people might be traveling, and just leave it running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for decades to come. And out there in the desert, this box will do nothing more than take all the energy and the temperature differences between day and night and make water and basically pour it down into a container so that that person that was unfortunate enough to get caught out in the desert could come across there and find a glass of water to drink. All the science and all the physics are there. If you understand what your atmosphere is made of, and you understand the temperature differences in the heat, you understand how to make fresh water out of thin air. And so if you can make fresh water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year in the worst possible climate, then you can actually build enough systems around that worst climate to quite literally irrigate, self-irrigate itself. It will pull moisture out of the air that is going to continue to come in even in the driest climate, it's going to continue to come in. And if you know how to use these temperature difference to basically condense that those gases back into the water molecule and fill up containers, then when a container gets full, then it will hit a float valve, run the water underneath the soil down to where the plants need it, and give the plants a drink. And to speed the process up, we could take infrastructures that are already in place and pipe water from flood zones over to areas where they really need the water. We could turn this entire planet into a super efficient, perfect harmony with nature. Would take care of every single man, woman, and child on this planet. Feed, house, clothes, medicine, everything. That's the ultimate of what mankind could achieve if they chose to do so. It's that simple. The wall that you're up against is called the government. The wall that you're up against is called the people. The wall that you're up against is called the corporate structures, the military-industrial complex. Everything, the fuel industries, the food and medical industries, even the grocery stores don't want you giving people free food. And definitely the restaurants don't want you giving people free food outside the restaurant because they're trying to make money. If you have a lemonade stand and I come by and I have a free lemonade stand, you're not going to make no money because everybody's going to come over to my side. That's how the system works. And when people feel like they want to get their act together, and you understand the little scenario that I just explained to you, if you put your free lemonade stand next to my business of selling lemonade, I'm not making no money. So, if we the people want to beat the system at their own game, we got to put up a free lemonade stand. We got to take all the lemons that life has produced and put on us, mix it with some water that nature gave us and some sugar that nature gave us, and make some free lemonade to give to the world. Somebody asked me if I had a free energy device video. And it's a yes and no question. It's a yes if you understand it. It's a no if you don't. In those videos, I show you a lot. But most people, like what I mentioned about the Sky Collections video, if you understand what you're seeing in that video, you have one of the keys to building a free energy device. At the very, very, very least, you have the key to making your device incredibly efficient. So with that said, I don't know what more to tell people. I think that I'm going to play us up out here with a song or two or something. And tell everybody peace and love and providing there is a Knights of the Round Table show tomorrow. Depends on whether or not I'm still alive. Life's pretty rough around here these days. Anyway, I think everything will be alright. But, in the meantime, peace and love. You've been listening to Mad Science. Take care.
Man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause the country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boys, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant. Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.